Oh my God. How good is the Lord? Great God, good God. How great is God? He's ever with you. How great is the Lord? He never changes. How great is God, and what would He do if you would let Him lift you up, stand you tall, bless you all every day? We talk about when the storms come, but what if you're living in a storm? There was a storm on a boat that Jesus was on. And the disciples got upset and they came down and woke Him up, because Jesus knew how to sleep through a storm, and He wants you to too. He said, rest in Me, trust in Me. I'm going to take you someplace you really, really need to be. And all I want you to do is praise. Oh, just praise. Just praise. Come on, just praise Me. Said Jesus, said, lift up your voice and say, this is the very day God has made. And as for Me and My house, we will rejoice. We will rejoice. Can't help but rejoice and be glad. Be glad. Be glad. Be glad in it. You know why? It is finished. Tip your hat and say, it is finished. God be praised today. Not by might, nor by any power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord of Lords. Not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. If you believe that, give God a shout in the house today. Come on. Give God a shout in the house today. Come on, testify to somebody. Look at the person next to you and say, I am so glad for this day. I am so thankful that God made it. I'm so thankful He created it for His purpose and His pleasure and His power. Oh, what a day. Come on, say it. Oh, what a day. Sometimes you just need to grow up. I love what Devo said. Grow up. Grow up. Oh, man. I had about 30 days of being on a sabbatical and just listening to what the Spirit of God had to say, and I feel like I woke up to somebody I didn't recognize. Did you recognize you when you woke up today? Because if you take the Word of God as it is intended to be taken, and you believe that it is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me, and the now life that I live, the now life that I live, I'm going to live it by the faith of the Son of God who dwells on the inside of me. Did you wake up today and recognize yourself? Or did you wake up today and say, who's that looking back at me? Feels like God's looking me in the face. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ has taken you over. It's not by the luxury of this world. It's not by the desires of the flesh. It's not by the willingness of man, but is by the Spirit of God. Did you wake up filled with the Spirit today. Just ask yourself a question. Did I look like the same old me? Or did I look like somebody different? When I woke up this morning, I didn't look like the same old me. More ways than one. But I felt a difference on the inside. Do you feel a difference? Can you see it? Call it up. Come on. Grow up. Come on. Wake up. Get up. Who are you? We know all the religious terms that we use, but who are you in Christ? And who is He in you? Heard it said so many times, I know who I am in Christ. But does God know who Christ in you is? Did He recognize Christ in you? Can He see Christ in you? Can He hear Christ in you? Do you look like you or somebody else? Did you wake up dead or alive? Who are you? Did you die to yourself and wake up in wealth saying, God has blessed me with all I need? Do you know you have everything you need? You have everything you need. There may be a lot of things that you want, but until you become happy and excited about what you have, even when what you want comes, you won't enjoy it. Until you learn to enjoy what God has done, what He has done. Make yourself glad in the Lord today. Take dominion over yourself and say, this is the day God has made. I rejoice, and I'm so glad in it. I'm not sad, not hesitating, not deliberating. I am prophesying by the faith of the Son of God. This is the day God has made, and I'm exceedingly glad. I'm rejoicing in it. I left all the religious tradition from the past today. I say this is the day that God has made. I rejoice. I rejoice. Do you rejoice? Do you rejoice? Do you rejoice? Do you rejoice? Be glad in this day. Lift up your voice and say, God has made me alive, and I'm happy to testify that this is the day. If you're there, you can sit down. If not, you have to stand until you get there. And by sitting down, you testify, I'm glad for today. We say a lot of things. Sometimes silence is the best voice to listen to. Because in silence you tend to reflect and you tend to look at what you really are. And in all that's being done and all that God will reveal, we do a lot. We try to do a lot. We try to get a lot done. We can tend to make ourselves unhappy with where we are not, discontented with what we do not yet have, wondering when today will end, so tomorrow will come, hoping that tomorrow will look better than it does today, that will feel better than it does today, that we'll have more than we have today. One time Jesus was moving on, and Jesus did a lot of moving on. He didn't stay very still. He moved. He moved in the Spirit. He moved in the places that He went. And one day, there were a lot of people that said to Jesus, they said, we will be your disciples too. We want to be your disciples too. It's like a lot of people say today. we want to follow the Lord. I know my authority in Jesus. And they said to Jesus, they said, we want to follow you too. And Jesus said, excellent. He said, come. And they started making up a lot of different excuses, like in a minute. One guy said, let me go back home and say adios to my family. Let me say goodbye and I'll follow you. And Jesus said, well, you might as well just stay home then. He said, no one who has put their hand to the plow and looks back can be fit for the kingdom. You can't really be ready, because if you knew that you were following the kingdom, if you knew you were following Christ, you wouldn't ask him for a minute. You would take that minute and you would follow him in it. You wouldn't ask for a second. You wouldn't be declined in your response. You'd say, let's do it right here, right now. There was a woman that came and touched Jesus one day that said, let's do it right here, right now. I don't look good. I don't feel good. I don't have a good report from the doctor, but today I know who I need to touch, and I know where I need to go, and I know what he has, and I know what I need. I need to touch him. I need to be where he is. I need to know that I'm in his presence. You can ask yourself the question today, do you know you're in his presence? God has done a new thing. God has done a new thing. God has done a new thing. He said he wanted to do it. And then he told us what it would look like when he was doing it. And he said it would look like confusion. And it would look like a storm. And it would look like dry places. It would look like wilderness. It would look like turmoil. It would look like trouble. It would look like trying times. It would look like darkness. But he said, I want you to know something. He said, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So to follow Christ is to follow him today in the fullness of who he is. To believe what you say you believe, to believe that you are Christ and you do live by the faith of the Son of God, and you are born of God and you are born of the Spirit, means that you have the demeanor of all that Christ is. It means that you put on, as the word says, put on the new man. God gave you that. Put on the new man. Everyone here today came clothed. You put on something. You put on something that you felt was appropriate for where you were going, and you made sure you were clothed before you got here. Thank you very much. But you made a decision and you followed through, and here you are. Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow, if you say, let's go, and you hold back, he said, you have made yourself unfit for where you're going, and you won't even recognize where you're going, and you won't realize where you've gone. You won't know what I have done. When they asked Jesus the question about the kingdom and asked him to show them a representation to make it appear, he said, it does not come that way. It is not like that. It is not like that. Do you understand? Jesus said, it is not like that. He said, the kingdom of God is something that is so far beyond your natural ability to detect that something has arrived. It so supersedes that, that when you see that it has come, you won't be the same person that you were. When you see that it has come, you will become a partner in the kingdom. You will become a child of the kingdom. Jesus did not like religion and tradition. He spoke fervently against it, because he said, your religion and your tradition has blinded your eyes. And I know it to be true, because the kingdom that you've been waiting for all these many years, even your forefathers, the kingdom that they prophesied is here right now, and you don't even know it. I'm speaking to you, Jesus said, out of the very authority of the kingdom of God. He said, I don't say, nor do I do anything of my own will. Which says something, that Jesus had a will. He had a human will. When he went to the garden, he said, I have a will. I have the will of a man. And he said, and if it is possible to do what I'm thinking might be done, if this cup could pass in some other way, let it be done. Jesus expressed in numerous occasions that he had an opinion. One time he said, listen, he said, I did not come to judge you. He said, oh, I could. I see what you're doing. I hear what you're saying. I'm certainly aware of who you really are under the garment and the clothing that hides your true nature. But I can see it. He said, but nonetheless, I didn't come to judge you. I came that you might have life and that you would have it in the fullness. See, in the fullness. And when Jesus did what he did it all in the fullness. And he said, I'm not speaking on my own behalf. I'm speaking directly from the kingdom of the Father. What I've heard him say, I'm saying to you right now. What I've seen him do, I'm demonstrated here, right now. Because you see, this is the day, and there will never be another day that will eclipse your negative days, your past. It will not exist, because the kingdom of God is the only thing that can eclipse your pain and your sorrow and your grief and your regret. It's the only thing. The kingdom of God reigns and rules. It's the only thing. And that kingdom is here today. And if you don't recognize it here today, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what God demonstrates. If you can't see it for what it is, Jesus said the natural eye is incapable of detecting that the kingdom of God has come. So when they said to him, show us the kingdom, he said, it's not done that way. I can't show you the kingdom in the way you want me. You want it to be demonstrated. I can't show you the kingdom in the way you want me to. He said, I didn't come to judge you, and I could. I have an opinion about what you're doing. I have an opinion about your religious ways. I have an opinion. I've walked into your temples. I've watched your leaders. I've listened to them speak. I've heard what they have to say about me, and I know who I am and in whom I am. But you don't. And Jesus knew right then and there what you're demonstrating to me. Jesus knew this. What you're demonstrating to me is that you are not aware that the kingdom of God has come. You're unaware. Because your relationship with God is one of religion. It is one of tradition. It is not of a new thing. Do you wake up every morning expecting something new to manifest? And where? Well, maybe you get the job or the business or the call or the acceptance or the email or the text or whatever it is you're waiting for. But inside the treasure of this day, inside the mystery of this hour, is the power of the kingdom of God that has already manifested something so new, so disciple-like, that if you will follow the sound and the presence of the kingdom, and where is it? Jesus said it's on the inside of you. And the only way you'll know it is when you manifest it. The only way the people around you will know that the kingdom of God is here is when you, as born again believers, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, leave your old life, put your hand to the plow, and march forward and say, I'll never be like I was again. Jesus said, the carnal mind, it's something everyone has. And Jesus had a natural mind. The Word says he was made man. He was made in the nature of sinful man. He was made like you and I. The Word says there was nothing about him that you would look at him and say, oh my God, that must be God. Think about it for a moment. What are you expecting? The Son of God that we worship, the salvation that we have, came through an individual that you could not look at him and say that you are the Son of God. There was nothing about him that represented, I am the King of Kings, I am the Lord of Heaven. Nothing. And yet, everything. Because the natural sense is such a deceiver. It is sinful in its nature. Paul said, and you have to listen to Paul and you have to follow Paul. You have to walk with Paul for a minute to understand him. He lived in the same time, but he came from a different place. He was very, very well schooled and educated. He pressed the mark. He didn't use an eraser. He paid attention to everything he did, and then he looked at it and he discerned by the Spirit what was good and what was not. He didn't try to hide anything. And if you read Paul, you'll see he was a very transparent individual. And God wants you transparent. Everyone has pain. Everyone has suffered. Everyone has done things they wish they had never done, said things they wished they had never said, acted in ways they wished they had never acted. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to put it all away. If you're going to follow me, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you're going to have to follow me and you're going to have to stop following you. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is in disagreement with God. It doesn't agree with God. If we would prophesy the things that exist and live in them, you would experience the new thing God has done, because he has done something. But we don't like it when the things that have been go away. But do you understand that's God doing what he said he would do? He said, I'm going to prune you. If you have the tendency, if you have the ability to produce fruit, I am going to prune you, and know this. If you want to follow me, I am going to bring correction into your life. As a father does a son. And that means you're not illegitimate. It means I love you and I'm accepting you as my own. So be okay with that. Be okay with tradition and religion. I have to say, for most of the world that I have been a part of and I have dwelt in and lived in ministering for most of my adult life, from the time I was 12 years old, I have found more religion than I have found relationship with the Father. And not for condemnation to any. I have wallowed in it. I have walked through it. I have shoveled it, trying to find a way to realize that God didn't give me a shovel to shovel away the discontentment of man, but he gave me a heart to seek the will of the Father. And in that, the kingdom of God is revealed. But understand that God's going to take away that old junk. He's going to take away the old clothing. He's going to remove what used to be. He's going to take it all away. Because what he has to do in this new thing is something he does by his word, by prophecy, just like he said. We are in the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is it. It doesn't get any greater than this. To wait for a time is to deny that Jesus did what he did. To wait for another day to unveil is to say that God is hidden in a day and that he is not omnipresent, that he is not always with us, and he is not complete. It is to say he is only partially presenting himself and who he is to me. He is only partially revealed in me. Oh, we come to the truth and we repent, for the kingdom of God is right here at hand. And we say, God, as Jesus said, I have a will and I have an opinion being a man. But before I go to the cross, I'm going to the garden. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. And you know the big difference? He meant every word of it. And he demonstrated it when he went to the cross. If you want to follow him, you're going to have to stop turning around and looking back. We can testify about all that God has delivered us from, and sometimes I wonder if that's really our call. Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul said, I've been through a lot. I've learned a lot. Paul said, I'm a little different. I'm kind of the oddball of everything and everybody. I always have been. I always will be. People were jealous of me because I just had a heart to learn. I didn't bring an eraser to class. I didn't want to erase anything I had written down. I wanted to look at all. And what was not right was not for me. Paul said it like this. He said, you know, I found that the things that I wanted to do, I didn't do. I couldn't do. I wasn't able to do. Because he said there was another law working in my mind. And he said, so when I wanted to do what was right, I couldn't do it. And when I didn't want to do what was wrong, I ended up doing that too. He said, I came to the conclusion, not erasing anything from my past. He said, but I did do something. He said, I went beyond it. I forgot what was behind because it wasn't me that woke up. It was Christ that woke up in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And he concluded, he said this, he said, and I got to praying and thinking, who will deliver me from this body of sin? And this is his answer. Thanks be to God that I no longer live in that mindset. That's no longer the mind that I think from. I have been delivered. I have been set free. And it is the Spirit of Christ, his law, that has overcome my mind. The laws of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God has overcome my mind. Let's look at a couple of things. We're in a very crucial time, so they say. But I want to tell you something. You didn't wake up in a storm. You were born into a storm. And there's no reason to try to get off the boat or out of the boat. Because you do, you're still going to be in the storm. Because we are born for storms. We are born to walk on the waters. We are born to part the seas. We are born to see God calm the winds. Just long enough to know he did it. And then let the wind blow again. The Spirit of God, Jesus said, is like the wind. It's like a storm. It comes out of nowhere. And it goes where it wants. And you can't control it. But you can be a part of it. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to ditch the past for real. I believe it's always been, but people today get caught in what is referred to as a loop. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been in a loop? Have you ever had your mind just go over the same thing over and over and over? Something that you didn't like, something that bothered you, something that upset you, something that you just wished hadn't happened. And you loop and you loop. It keeps you awake. You wake up to it and you can't get out of that loop. And the reason is because we try to think our way out, not realizing that we thought our way in. You're trying to use water to start a fire. You've doused your mind. You've drowned your mind in sorrow and regret and pain. And now you're waiting for the great healer to come and heal you. And God does heal pain, and he does heal regret. And he does want to move you into a new day. But until you repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Listen to what it's saying. Repent from that and come into this. Repent of yourself. There is therefore now no condemnation. Romans 8:1, to those who were in Christ Jesus. Now we take it as, I am no longer condemned. Let's take it a step further. I can't condemn anybody. There's no condemnation in me. I can't condemn you or you or you or you or anybody. I can't condemn anybody. There's therefore now no condemnation to me because I am in Christ Jesus. He had an opinion. He could have judged, but he didn't. He said, I came to fulfill the purpose for which I have been sent. So we are today. We have come to fulfill the purpose for which we are sent. We're not here to do business. We're not here to try and make it better. We're here to understand that He is the best. He is the all in all. He has given us everything. What are you going to do with everything? You have everything. What have you done with it? Regret is a loop. And if you stay there, you'll never get out. You regret the way you were raised. You regret losing your father. You regret losing your mother. You regret that you weren't loved the way you should. Whatever. You regret that your wife didn't treat you. You regret that your husband didn't treat you. You regret. Sin. Jesus said, I want to deliver you, but you have to know that it is no longer you that's living. Jesus said, I have a will, but I'm doing it right here in the garden. The garden prayer is the prayer of power. Not my will, your will be done. And I mean it. And then he went to the cross. You know, and it's not just what Jesus did. And what he did was everything. It's what he said. His name is called the Word of God. And when he opened his mouth, he spoke the kingdom of God. You'll never see it with your eyes. The only way you're going to know the kingdom is when it starts living out of you. In the middle of your storm. You're not getting out of the storm, so get over it and enjoy the wind. Enjoy the sea. You can go to sleep. You can rest just like Jesus did in the sea. You know why? Because you're going to be discouraged in your call. What does it matter if the winds are blowing, if the storm is raging? Who says that a calm sea was the way we were supposed to live? Seasons change when the wind blows. New things happen when the wind blows. New seed travels a long distance when the wind blows. God spoke to Lot, and he told him, he said, destruction is coming to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, in the short of the story, he said, I'm going to save you and your family. He said, I need you to leave. And Lot hung around. He hung around until the angels grabbed him and just literally drug him out and said something really, really interesting. He said, go up to the mountain, go to Moab. And Lot said, no, man, we go there, we're going to die. And Lot said, there's a little town. He said, just a few people. God likes few. You might be amazed. There's a little town with just a few people. Lot said, if I have found favor in your sight, Lord, let me go there. Something very, very interesting. God said, because he's given the angel of the Lord, his word. And God said, I'll do what you ask. I won't destroy that town. Lot saved the town. We know he came out of a town that was destroyed, but did you know he saved the town? By his faith and by calling on the favor of God. He said, I will not destroy that town. And this is what he said. He said, go there. I can't do anything until you arrive. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. One of the things Paul warned us about was debauchery and disorder. He said, don't let it be among you. It's sin. Do you know the sin of the mind that is recorded in the Word is when anyone creates division in the body of Christ? God frowns on that greatly. It's literally linked to murder. Pretty heavy, right? Because it kills the unity. It separates the unity. Jesus had an opinion. We all have opinions. They should, they shouldn't. But what is the most important thing in the heart of God? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the fullness of who He is on the inside of you. Till we all come into the unity, we should, if we're going to fight for anything, if we're going to push for anything, we should push to be linked and locked in together, to come into the unity of the faith where nothing can come between you and the body of Christ. Simple thing. Very, very simple thing. But the church is inundated, saturated, filled, and baptized in discontentment, opinions. Our opinion should be the Word of God, and your eyes will begin to open. You'll see things you'd never seen about yourself. You'll see things that you had not seen about you. You'll see the kingdom of God arising. You should do everything in your power to put out the flame of discord. If you smell it, if you see it, if you hear it, that's the natural mind saying, I have to divide because I don't like the way God is doing things. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can it be. So sometimes God will strip you of your disorder. And sometimes with it goes some stuff. He will strip you of your discontentment. And the reason He's doing it is because He knows the kingdom of God will supply you with far more than you could have ever asked or imagined in your mind. That's so the Word of God, the words of prophecy, can be fulfilled in you. Jesus said, the only way that the kingdom can make its representation of power, the only way that I can redeem everyone that will call on My name, is I have to do it here in this body just like they have. I have to be the living, dying, and resurrected example. And I have to be holy. I have an opinion, but I cannot act on it. I have a will, but I have to surrender it. And I have to say, God, whatever it takes for You to reveal through me who You really are, that's what I want. The Word says, a carnal mind, that's the enmity. That's what resists. What keeps you in that loop? A carnal mind. Judgment of yourself, judgment of those around you. It keeps you in the loop. I wished I had done it differently. What do? We stop and say, I thank You, Lord. I put away my eraser. I have learned that in all things, whatever state I find myself in, I make myself content. And I say, this is the day You have made. I rejoice and I'm thankful for it. You lead me in the way I should go. If I find myself in hell, You're with me. If I fly to the uttermost part of the world and feel like I'm lost, there You're with me. Not only that, but Your hand will lead me and You will guide me. How could I possibly go out of Your will? Fear that you're going to miss the will of God is doubt and unbelief. Get rid of it. How much has God given you for you to rely on, to rest in, to hope in, to trust in? He said, I have given you everything. Do you know there'll be a day of judgment? There will be a day when you will have to reckon with what you have done or did not do with all that God has given you. You have the power of the kingdom of God. You have the power to knit people together. You have the power to disband disorder and contradiction and to divide disunity. You have the power to speak words of unity. You have the power to speak words of life. You have the power to find the treasure in every single individual that you ever meet, no matter what, even if they are there to give you control over your own mouth and mind. That's power from the kingdom. No matter what they wanted to do to Jesus, they couldn't do it because he demonstrated the power of the kingdom. He himself allowed them to come and get him, but as a demonstration of authority, when they came to get him, he said, "I am," and they fell flat back and couldn't touch him. He had to take it on by himself. By himself. Jesus didn't have a soldier to help him go to the cross. He had to help the soldier help him go to the cross. There was no man, there was no flesh, there was no blood, there was no strength in man's arm, there was no power in Pilate's mouth to let him go. He couldn't do it. He wanted to, but he couldn't. There's nothing to keep you back. Nothing can hold you back for a moment but your carnal mind. It wouldn't matter if the devil flamed up right here in a Halloween costume and a pitchfork. He couldn't do a thing to you. But you could destroy your own mind just realizing that the appearance of something evil stands in front of you and say, instead of saying, "This is the day God has made, I will rejoice and I will be glad in it," and watch it flame out right before your eyes. No weapon formed will prosper. So what do you care what weapons are formed? No sea will overcome you. No waters will drown you. No fire will burn you. So what are you afraid of? But you are the power of the kingdom of the government of God because Christ dwells on the inside of you to make you influential in the world. But until you do what Jesus did and you take the authority and the power of the kingdom of God that presides or should preside on the inside of you, and you start calling out those things that are blessed of God. You take dominion over your mind. You don't sow discord in any way. Who cares what your opinion is? God certainly does not. But what saith the word of the Lord? I have people around me that I am really blessed. My daughter said the other day, she said, "There's some people around you, Dad, that have so much faith in the prophetic that if you told them to paint their toenail pink and go and do something, they would do it because they have such faith in the Word of God." And my family has great respect for these people. As do I, because it is by the Word of the Lord. You have to determine. The woman said, now listen to me. No one came to the woman and said, "Listen, I want to show you a bunch of scripture. I want to talk to you about everything Jesus said." She made a decision to move forward. And when she did, she saw the kingdom of God. She said, "That man, I believe him to be the Son of God." Now, I don't have any proof because there isn't any. I mean, he's done some things, but all these other people have seen him do these things and they don't believe in him. But I've got something. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm about to die. Sometimes that's the place you've got to be. You shouldn't have to be, but if that's what it takes. And she said, "But I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, and when I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." The kingdom of God was walking, but no one could see the kingdom of God because their eyes were veiled with tradition and religion and their natural mind that is an enemy against what God really is, who he is, and what he does. So they could not see him. The word says your minds were blinded so you could not see. But her faith opened a door because she said, "I'm leaving where I was. I may die at his feet, but I'll tell you one thing. When I touch it, if I fall dead on his garment, I'll be healed." And the word says she touched, and we know what happened. The scriptures declare that the kingdom's power literally flew from the body of Christ into the body of the woman. There was a spirit-to-spirit connection, and she was instantly healed. And Jesus felt it, and he said, virtue, power has been drawn out of me, just like someone drawing water out of a well. And he said, who touched me? Not meaning a person. The spirit of the kingdom in someone just touched me, and we came into unity, and whatever needed to be done was done, and Jesus knew it. And trembling and afraid, she went up and said, it was me. And he said, your faith has made you one with the kingdom. Your faith has healed you. The power is in you today, but you can't do it divided. You can't get out of that loop. And you can't think, if I get married, I'll get out of that loop. No, you won't. Whatever's got you in that loop, you're going to tow it into your marriage. It's not going to make you any happier to get married. It's not going to make you any happier to get divorced. Because whatever the dissatisfaction is in that relationship belongs to you. Because you've made yourself owner of it, and you have ownership. But if you'll abandon, as Liane says often, deedle and tide, or title and deed, title and deed. If you will abandon that, tear it up, throw it in the fire, and say, I have nothing to do with you. A husband, a wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, my wife treating me different, my husband treating me different, my children, if they will, no, what you're going to do, some people think when I get married, if I can just get married, and unfortunately many churches are built on this very premise, fill it with all kinds of people. Some pastors will even say, I know why you're here. I know you're here to get a mate. But while you're here, listen to the word. All right, beautiful. Because if you get a mate, you're going to be happy. And if you get married, you're going to have children. And your children are going to make you even happier. No, let me tell you, as long as you have discontentment in tow, you're going to share it with your husband. And then you're going to be discontented with your husband or your wife because they have taken on the character of your discontentment. And now you're angry at them for them acting on what you brought into the relationship. And your children are going to be part of that as well. So you're going to call them things like little brats and little devils, and you need to get saved. When the truth is, they're saying, Mom, you're the devil and you're the brat, and you need to get saved, because if you would, we would too. We are about to move into a day that we have not known ever before. And it is an incredible day. And it is a storm. It is a rocking sea in some very small boats, because many large boats are going to sink, because God is not pleased with arrogance. But he is pleased with the humble. He was pleased with Zorah. That's where Lot went. I literally named it because Lot went there. Zorah means few. And God saved it because Lot said, I'm going to go there. Let's go some places that God can save. Let's leave where we've been. Let's move into what God has called us to move into. Let's leave the past. You aren't hurt anymore. That person died. Put your eraser away and bury that person. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the word says, to fulfill Scripture, you've been beaten, you have a crown of thorns, you've lost blood, you've lost water, you've been ridiculed, and it's your power that's holding you there, because no one has the power to do it but you. That was Jesus. He was the only one that had the power to keep him on the cross. And to fulfill Scripture for you and I, he said, I thirst. And there was a jar of old wine, old, bitter, rotten wine which was mingled with gall. And if you don't know what that is excrete that comes from the liver. It is poison that the liver gets rid of. And they mixed it in that wine. So it would be fulfilled. They gave me poison for food. And they gave me sour wine to drink. And he tasted it. And then he said, the most powerful thing that has ever been said, it is finished. Amen. Do you know what that meant? It's concluded. The conclusion is here now. Everything about you that was painful, I just tasted it for you. Every pain of your life, everything you've suffered from the past, everything that you testify about, stop it. Testify that He is Lord to the glory of God. Testify that He is the King of all kings. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. He is the everlasting one. He is God the Father. He is the ever-present Lord. He is the Redeemer of all. He is love. He is joy. He is peace. He is holiness. He is righteousness. He is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one ever-present with you. He already tasted your pain. Don't offer it to Him again. Forget your eraser. Stop trying to erase things. It is as it has been, and it had its purpose. So let it be. Bury it as a seed and a testimony. Make it an offering to God and say, Lord, wherever You take us from this point forward, we are thankful. How do you overcome the loop? Thankfulness. I'm thankful for this day. I have no regrets. I said what I said, and I thank you that I'm redeemed from it. What is my answer? I wished I hadn't. I'm thankful you forgave me for it. I wished I hadn't done that. No, I'm thankful because regret is a loop and you'll never get out of it. And you'll take that loop into your ministry. You'll take it into your business. You'll take it into your relationship. And then you'll wonder why you can't move forward. Because you keep looking back, having put your hand to the plow. You keep saying, I got to go say goodbye to the old thing. I got to go say goodbye to the old day. I got to try and work, wrap my mind around why this happened. It doesn't make any difference. That you can't understand it is a blessing. Because you have to surrender it without you coming to a conclusion. Because Jesus brought all sin to a conclusion. When He said, it is finished. He brought it to a conclusion. He brought it to a conclusion. He hung on the cross and said, Tetelestai. Tetelestai. It is concluded. It is paid in full. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. There's nothing more to pay. There's nothing more to do. Repent of who you are. Receive who I am and that I am God with you always. I have incredible things to show you. Things you have not known. Things you couldn't understand. And I'll tell you why. Because the kingdom of God is in your grasp. The kingdom of God is in your hand. Can you feel it? Tell yourself, I can feel the kingdom of God. I can hear the kingdom of God. I'm thankful for everything I've done. Get out of the loop. Get out of the wandering around in the wilderness. Some of those people never stopped wandering because they wouldn't receive the word of the Lord. I'll go before you. I'm with you always. Family, friends, church, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and it is an everlasting covenant that remains now and forever. Tetelestai. It is finished. It's time to move on. Something new is happening, but you're looking for what you're looking for to tell you it's happened. If you will say, it's happened and I'm walking in it today, God, I praise you for it. The increase you promised me, I'm walking. It doesn't matter if you lost your job. It doesn't matter if your finances have gone. It doesn't matter if everything's closing in around you. You cannot see the kingdom. The kingdom comes in the storm. The kingdom comes in the furnace. The kingdom comes in the den. The kingdom comes in the middle of the Red Sea. The kingdom comes when Pharaoh is on your heels. Church, move forward. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's in your grasp. Get out of the loop by saying, God, I thank you for what you did. I thank you for what has been revealed in me. God, your kingdom is making itself manifest. That was your kingdom. And my mind didn't like it, and I'm thankful that it didn't, because it shows me the division and the separation. Paul didn't use an eraser. He looked at what he shouldn't have done, and he said, I won't do that again. Thank you, God. And he looked at what he should do and said, I'll do that. He told us. He said, the things that I didn't want to do, I did. But I thank God who will deliver me from this body of sin. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Then that's no longer who I am. Paul wrestled with it for a minute. He said, I've been given a thorn of the flesh. What is it? A messenger of Satan keeps coming and ridiculing me. God, make him stop. Jesus said, no. My grace is sufficient for you. You do it. Tetelestai. It's finished. Don't argue with him. Don't tell him he's a liar. You're reiterating the lie. He already knows that. Speak the truth, and the truth will set you free. You are Lord to the glory of God. You are God ever present with me. You are my healer. You are my strength. You are my joy. Thank you for driving the arrogance and the shame and the hatred and the bitterness and the regret and the wish I, should I, could I have done it a different way. Thank you, God, for everything that happened and exactly the way it went down. Now I embrace what you're doing and you're moving us forward, because my steps are ordered of the Lord. It has to be a good day. And because all things work together for good, what could you throw into this mix that could possibly be bad? Because I love you and I am the called according to your purpose, and only your purpose will be manifest. So I put before you, this is the greatest season of your lives. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Give the Lord praise this morning. Would you stand with me? Standing up, grow up. Don't rehearse what you regret. Don't rehearse what you doubt. Don't rehearse what you're afraid of. Don't rehearse what didn't happen. In the latter days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and you will all learn how to prophesy. You will tell of things to come. You will declare the will and the word of the Lord, and you will walk in its fullness. Don't be upset because God cut the tow rope between you and what was holding you back and said, watch me do a new thing. Not only did he do it once, he'll do it again. He continues to do and demonstrate what he has already done. It's time to walk in the fullness of the Father. Great God, we thank you for your love. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the fullness of all that you are in your people. And now I pronounce on you a blessing of awareness. I pray as the prophet prayed for his people and for his servant. God, open the eyes of the people that they may see how many are with us. How strong and fortified you have made us. How untouchable we are by evil. How covered, how secure, how protected we are. For the Lord is our shepherd. We do not want for any good thing. You make us to lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside quieted waters. You restore our soul. You lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Even when the storm comes and the valleys of the shadow of death, we don't recognize it. We fear no evil. There's no evil to be feared because you were with us. Your rod and your staff, that's our comfort. Not what the seas are doing, or the winds. And you prepare a table before us. And where do you prepare it? In the presence of our enemies, our cup runs over. You anoint our head with oil. Only goodness and your mercy follows us all the days of our life. And we dwell in the presence of the Lord now and forever. In Jesus' name. And everyone shouted. What a great season. And truly I was happy when they said, let's go to church. This is the greatest season of your life. Give the Lord a shout in the house. We are here to unify, to edify. Use the power of the kingdom of God that's in you to bring everything into the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. To make two one. Demonstrate that power. Demonstrate the power of unity. Use what you have to sew the fabric of the body together till we all come into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. Watch and see what happens. You'll see things you've never seen before.